Father God, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray that you'd use this word to just do something in our lives, God, that we would be changed, that we'd be challenged, that we would be convicted. God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to say this afternoon. Would you just say, I'm dirt. Look at your neighbor and look at them and say, man, you're dirt. Yeah, you're dirt, man. I don't know if you realize it, but you know, you actually came from dirt.
Yeah.
You were formed out of the dust of the earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, anytime you start to think that you're a little bit better than you are, just remind yourself of that. Just like, man, I'm dirt. I came from the soil. You know, this morning we're going to be talking a bit about dirt, because it fits so, it's right in where we're at in Mark. And part of understanding dirt is understand that there's good dirt and there's bad dirt. And I did some research this week on dirt, and you wouldn't understand how much literature there is out there about soil and dirt in regards to agriculture. I mean, it is just out there, and there's a ton of stuff. There's a few verses that I want to give us in context this morning before we get into Mark chapter 4. Hosea 10:12, break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. James 1:21, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4 this morning. We got a big fat chunk of scripture, and there's this tiny little part in the middle of it that I'll cover next time, but it doesn't fit in with the parable, and so we're going to kind of break it up a little bit, because what's going to happen here is Jesus is going to tell his disciples a parable, and then immediately after he explains to them what it means, and so we're going to talk about both those things together this morning. So, Mark chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and again he began to teach by the sea, Jesus, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on the ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. And so let's jump ahead to verse 13. We'll cover 10, 11, and 12 next time I preach. And it says, verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, and some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The beginning and the end of the sermon is this, is you want to be good dirt.
Yes.
Like, with all, and we're going to talk about four different types of dirt, and I just want to tell you right now, you want to be good dirt. You don't want to be bad dirt, because good dirt produces good fruit. Bad dirt doesn't produce fruit, and so you want to be good, high-quality soil. Now what's interesting, I was doing some research about soil, and I learned a new word, and I'll be curious if anybody, does anybody know the word tilth? Tilth? Yeah, Dave Messenger knows it, because he works in agriculture. He's an arborist. And tilth is the tillability of a soil. It's the ability for it to be able to be cultivated. That's what tilth means. It's basically the suitability for sowing seeds. So if a soil has good tilth, it means it's going to receive the seed well. It actually literally said on this website, good sustainability for sowing seeds. Good soil has sufficient depth. Now sufficient but not excessive nutrient supply. small population of plant pathogens and insect pests, good soil drainage, large population of beneficial organisms, low weed pressure, no chemicals or toxins that may harm the crop, and most of all, it has resilience to degradation and unfavorable conditions. There's a sermon in there somewhere. I just want to get into these heart things. I want to talk first about this first heart. And as we're going through these hearts, this is what I want you to be thinking about. I want you to think about, which heart am I? Which soil am I? Because there's four types of dirt, and you're just one of the four. Now, might there be times or seasons where we might be in some of the bad places, but you want to be in the good soil. Amen? So as we're going through it, you just got to reflect and think to yourself and think, man, am I the hard heart? Am I the hard soil? I don't want to be that way. So Jesus says in verse 3, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Now, the wayside is the edge on where you plant crops. Now, I'm not a farmer. I've never been one. One time when I was in Texas, Pastor Kirby let me till some soil, and I planted some stuff, and I felt pretty cool riding on that tractor for that afternoon. And what's interesting, when you plow the field, though, there's a side of the field that you can't plow. And there's basically like a hard dirt mound that sits there. And the reason why it sits there is because then the farmer can walk around his crops without hurting his crops. And that dirt gets really, really, really hard. And so in this parable, Jesus is talking about that hard dirt on the side of the crop. And he says that there's some seed that will go on that. But what happens is the birds of the air came and devour it. Now, what Jesus is saying in this parable is this seed, it just lays there. It doesn't, excuse me, it doesn't actually go down into the soil. And what happens is the birds come along and they see the seed laying on top of that hard pan and they think, oh man, this is some good seed, so we're just going to take it up and we're just going to eat it. The example would be in my own life, the thing I have cultivated a lot in my life is all of the grass in my front and backyard. And I've got some of the worst soil possible for growing grass. And I remember when I first moved into my house, I had this idea that I didn't really have to do anything to the soil, so I would just go out there and throw grass seed periodically on top of the dirt. Because I figured, you know, grass will grow in concrete cracks. How hard would it be to grow on dirt? You know what I'm saying? Like, it grows all the places you don't want it. I figured it couldn't be that hard. You just throw some stuff out there. And I would throw that seed out in my backyard, and we used to have hard pan clay, man. It's horrible back there. And I'd look out my window, there'd be birds out there chirping, just going for it, like loving that seed. They kept coming back every day. They love that seed. Now, what's interesting about the seed, though, is in this parable and in this story, the seed is not the problem. The problem is the soil. It's good seed that's being thrown onto that soil. It's the soil that's the problem. It's not the seed that's the problem. The soil is too hard. It's too firm. It's not willing to receive the seed. It's interesting. Sometimes we think it's the message that's the problem or the messenger, when usually the problem is the hearer. God always sends out good message. God always sends out good seed. It's the heart of the hearer that is the problem. Jesus explains in verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, that part of Satan coming immediately, and it's already begun to happen to some of the women of this church. You went away, you had a great time, God did a fantastic thing, and you were driving away and Satan already started to attack you. You woke up this morning and Satan was already attacking you. Those of you that are here this morning, it's going to happen to you today. You're going to hear a great word. God is going to change something inside of you. You're going to hit the parking lot and Satan is going to come as fast as he can to try to steal that seed if you are on hard pan soil. See, what's interesting is that many people don't understand how this process works when it comes to seed and soil. When Jesus talks about it, he says the problem in this parable is that the people that are receiving good seed, they have hard hearts. They have hard hearts, and it's easy for Satan to come and take those seeds away from them because their heart is hard. Their heart is so hard they can't even begin to receive what God is trying to do in their lives. God's trying to plant good soil, good seed in their lives, trying to put good things, and the seed is the word, folks. And so he's trying to put good things in, but because that heart is so hard, they can't receive it. See, here's part of it, folks, is that Satan has no joy in having the Word of God affect people's lives. He doesn't like it at all. So any opportunity that he has to steal away whatever type of joy that God is trying to implant in someone's lives, he is going to come as fast as he can to try to steal it away. Every time, John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his marching orders. That's what he wants to do. And see, now what's interesting though, is that Satan saw that with, when he dealt with Jesus, and I don't want to go too far into it, but when Jesus fought Satan, he always fought him with the Word. He always used the Word to fight Satan, and so Satan knows the power of the Word, so whenever the Word goes out, he wants to do whatever he can to not let that Word take root and begin to grow fruit, because then he knows he's going to be defeated. So he's going to do whatever he can to go and take that seed wherever it may land. So what does it mean to you? The first thing is this, man. You have got to do a heart check this morning. Just do a heart check. And I understand that you come in here and you're like, man, I'm going to go into this church and he's going to preach something this morning. And then the Holy Spirit says something to you and you're like, ouch, that hurts. I don't like that guy. Don't not like me. Don't like the fact that you've got a hard heart. Just say to God, say, man, I think that might be me. I think the Word just falls off my ears. I think that I'm really excited about it for a minute, but man, it does. It gets stolen away. Some people don't realize they actually have a hard heart, that their heart has been hardened, that they can't receive the things of God anymore. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:18, and it's in the ESV, he says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. Many people are alienated from God because of their heart. It's not that God doesn't love you. It's not that God doesn't move. It isn't that God isn't good. It's that your heart is so unbelievably hard, you can't even begin to receive what God is trying to give to you. People say, well, it seems like it's my problem. And you know what the truth is? Sometimes it is. Sometimes a hard heart is your problem. Proverbs 28:14 says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The truth is, a lot of people's hearts are hard because of how they have lived their lives. The way they think, the way they speak, the way that they act. They choose to have a hardened heart. God didn't put it on them. God didn't harden their heart. They got hurt one day and closed themselves off and said, you know what, I'm never going to open myself again. I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to receive again. I'm never going to allow myself to get hurt like that again, ever. That's not God doing that to you. That's you doing that to you. That's you closing yourself off instead of opening yourself up and saying, you know what, God, I want everything that I want, that you want in my life. Now, here's what's great. As much as the Bible says that if you have a hardened heart, you will fall into calamity, there's a promise in Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. What a promise of Scripture. See, God says that if you have a hardened heart, if you will be open about the fact that you have a hardened heart, if you will come forth with that which keeps you from God, God says, you know what? You're going to obtain mercy. Bring it forth. You're going to obtain mercy. Now, here's the biggest distinction of a hardened heart. If you're like, well, do I have a hardened heart or not a hardened heart? I'm going to let you know if you have one right here, okay? A hardened heart is one where you are living in a perpetual state of sinful behavior with no repentance or sorrow. That's a hardened heart. You go and take part in something that a Christian person ought not do, and there ain't no check in your spirit whatsoever. You're just bathing in it. You're like, this is awesome. And then you wake up the next morning, there's no check in your spirit whatsoever. That's a hardened heart. And I'll tell you, that is a place of danger. Okay? If you are not feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you put your toe into the lake of fire, if you're not feeling anything, be greatly concerned. Be greatly concerned. See, that's the thing, man. When you come to church and the Word goes forth and you feel a prick in your spirit of something that's got to change in your life, thank God for it. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that I still feel the conviction. Thank you, God, that I still feel that. Oh, I know. Because here's the thing. If you're struggling, you're good. Okay? If there's still a struggle, you're good. It's when there's no struggle left that there's a concern. The Bible says, though, that if you reveal your transgressions, James actually says to confess them to one another and forsake them. That word forsake is almost like the word repentance. It's to throw them away and move towards God. The Bible says that you will obtain mercy. God understands this, folks. He understands the hardened heart. God understands the deceitfulness of sin and how it comes into our lives. But God made provision to soften those hardened hearts, and it's through repentance. And if you don't know what the word repentance means, it means a changing of mind. It's when you stop looking at something that is sinful as good and look at it as bad. And say, I despise this thing. I hate this thing. I don't want anything to do with that ever again. That's a heart of repentance, to turn away from it. Say, I'm not even going to take part in it. I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, when you turn away from sin, you gain grace. You gain the grace of God because God will give it to you. God has grace for you in this matter. Amen? That's the greatest gift of repentance. All repentance is gathering the free trip out of the pit fires of hell. Amen? That's all grace is, and I don't know about you, but if I was in a pit of fire and someone threw me a rope, I'd take it. Amen? I'd take it. I'd grab it. I'd do whatever I could to get out of there. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? What a great promise of Scripture. And all the people that ever sinned said, oh, that was a healthy amen. Whew. Man, you guys need some Jesus. If you're here, when the Word of God hits you, you should want those promises. Who wouldn't? See, here's part of it, folks, is that understand this. Satan does not want you to have these promises. He doesn't want you to experience mercy. He doesn't want you to experience grace. He doesn't want you to experience victory. He gets excited when your heart is hard. Instead of having that hard heart, say, you know what, God, give me some tilth. God, give me some tilth. Tilth my heart, God. Tilth it deep. One of the worship leaders is going to do that too. God, we pray that you would tilth our hearts this morning. Some visitors are like, what, tilth? Where is this place? Tilth? Satan wants you to experience condemnation and destruction. That's what he wants you to experience. He doesn't want you to experience the good things of God at all. Second heart is this, is the weak heart. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Now, I call that the weak heart, and I call it the weak heart because of this, because it can't handle the sun. When the heat comes, it withers away. Now, what I love about this heart, much more than the hardened heart, is that this weak heart wants growth. Like, it desires growth. It says, you know what, I want to receive the seed, and I want to have it grow inside of me, but the problem is that the sun always comes out and seems to make whatever's growing in my heart wither. And this heart is great because it wants whatever God can do with it. It says, God, grow it. Make it grow, God. It just doesn't have the right type of heart to fully produce fruit. It starts to grow something, but then before it gets the opportunity to the fruit stage, it gets the sun, and then it withers away. We've got some sort of fruit tree growing on the backside of our fence at my house. And I don't know what kind of, I think it might be a cherry tree, because a few years ago, I remember we had bought some cherries, and I sat up on my deck, and I was spitting them as far as I could over the fence, and I thought to myself, maybe one day a cherry tree will grow. And I think I got one going. And, What's funny about that tree, though, is that there ain't any fruit on it yet at all. It's just a tree with some leaves on it, because it takes a while to cultivate fruit. There's not anything out that you can plant and get fruit in a short amount of time. It takes a while. Jesus said in verse 16, he says, these likewise are the ones who sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. I think that's so great. Again, this weak heart is excited when they hear the word, but they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Again, they receive it with gladness. This is a great heart condition, but no root. They only endure it for a time. And these, you know, I put this stuff in my notes and I'm really courageous when I'm writing it. And then I see it. I'm like, man, I'm going to say this. And then I come in, I'm like, I don't know. All right. Dude, these are the people that come in out of church all the time. In and out of a relationship with life. In and out of a relationship with God because they can't handle life. And I'll tell you, man, I've been pastoring now for, 13 years? And I've seen it, man. I've seen the cycle. The ins and the outs and the backs and the fourths and the, you know, and some people got a 3-month cycle, some people got a 6-month, some people got a 9, some got a 12, some got a 18, some got a 2. But there's this contingent of people that have a weak heart that they receive it with gladness and they get excited about the things of God, but it's just for a season. Because they don't have a deep enough root to be able to endure when the heat actually comes. And people would say, well, Pastor Matt, why are you picking on these people? I'm not trying to pick on them. I'm trying to let them understand that it is possible to have victory. It is possible for God to change your heart in such a way that you do not have to succumb to the scorching heat of this world. You don't have to live in this perpetual cycle of victory and defeat. You can live in a perpetual life of victory over every circumstance that comes into your life. People say, hey, I'm back, Pastor. I'm glad to be back in church. And I hate to say it, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, you're good until the persecution comes. Yeah. Yeah. And people say, well, man, that's kind of mean. I'm not, listen, all I preach is truth. Yeah. That's it. And I tell you, my kids get mad at me sometimes because they'll bring me something that they did or made. And I'm like, yeah, it's all right. And like, won't you even tell me it's good? I'm like, dude, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to tell you. It's true. Yeah. If you don't want to know the answer, don't ask me. Lie to my kids? No way. Lie to them. So don't think that they get the special treatment. I don't got to lie to my kids at home. I don't come down here and lie to you guys either. Amen? Now this term right here, folks, is such a deep spiritual nugget. Think about this. If you receive the word with gladness, inevitably, you're going to start to show some sort of growth from the seed. But when you start to grow, persecution always comes when you start to grow. Always. When you get something, you receive it from God and you begin to grow and bear a little bit of growth, you go out into the world and you want to share it with people, the excitement of what God is doing in your life, and the world will come at you from every single corner to do everything that they can to try to kill what is growing inside of you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you must have a hard heart. Man, this is some good preaching. Because again, if you can identify with the weak heart, you can say, man, that's me. I go out and I try, man, I want to share the joy, but it just comes and I can't just seem to handle it. Here's the deal though, is that you have got to build up a strong heart to be able to withstand the persecution that comes from being a Christian. It is imperative that you have a strong heart so that when you go out and share the word with this world that you can suffer the pure persecution that comes with it. Because if you don't have a strong heart and you go out and you try to share this word, they will devour you. They come with everything, every bit of discouragement and pain to do everything they can to burn out that word that is growing inside of you. Now here's the deal. If you know that your heart is weak, because you've been in that back and forth cycle of fruit, son, death. Here's an idea. Why don't you get built up? Why don't you make it your heart's cry to say, do you know what, God, I'm going to do whatever I can to be built up in you. I'm going to do whatever I can for my heart to not be hard. I'm going to do whatever I can that my heart will not be soft. I want my heart to be able to receive everything that you have, God. So I'm going to position myself to receive everything that you have for me at every time. Because I want growth, God. I'm so tired of this cycle. I'm so tired of the back and forth. I'm tired of growing a little bit of fruit and have some sun come along and destroy it. I'm done with it. How do you build that? I'll tell you how. I got some time. Here we go. Here's the best part about it. Okay? Now, if you ever come to a sermon and you don't like me halfway through, just wait till the end, please. Because here's the deal, man. When you're preaching, you got to come in and you got to tear people up and then you provide the salve at the end, okay? So salve is coming. Just hold on. Well, you vile sinners, just hold on. The greatest part about this is that the building of your heart is not dependent on you. It's not. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For grace you have been saved through faith. Watch this. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. God has given us this faith. God has given us this grace. God has implanted inside of us. See, if you're a Christian, you receive Christ in your life, you've been made a new creation. You're no longer that old person. The Bible says in Romans 12:3 that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given us a measure. Every single one of you have a measure of faith. If you have faith in Christ, you have a measure, and God can do something with a measure. He can do something with a measure. But here's part of it, and this is the part where we start to play a little bit of a role in it, okay? Is that God has placed that little ember inside of us, and we need to feed the fire of that thing, amen? We can't just let it kind of go out. We've got to do everything that we can to really get that thing burning hot, amen? I did some yard work this weekend while my wife's away, including the dishes and some vacuuming. It's all right. I handle business. And so, I'm sorry, Gabe mowed the lawn, yes. Faith helped with the dishes. They're back with these incredulous looks like, what do you mean we did stuff? Here is all your glory, no longer done in secret, made public, okay? There you go. Receive your due reward, children. And so I was building, we have a fire pit in our backyard, and so there was some debris and some old stuff that I was just going to burn. And so there's a lump of old wet stuff that had been there through the summer, and so I put some other stuff to try to make this fire, and it just wasn't burning as hot as I wanted it to burn to kind of get it going. And so I did what any good man did. I got out my leaf blower, you know what I mean? And I don't know if you've ever taken a leaf blower to an ember, but man, that thing will cook. I mean, it was just fantastic. There was this little thing, and I was, the flames were like this high. It was fantastic. Why do I share that story with you? You don't need a lot. You just need a little bit, and you need to fan the flame, man. You need to get that thing going. If God has given you a measure of faith, man, get out the leaf blower and let God grow that thing. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We're actually supposed to feed on God's word. It's what grows us. It's what sustains us. We've got to feed on that. You know this? You live on what you eat on. Don't pay attention to Brian and the blinds. I know you guys have never seen blinds before, but they come down, they close the windows. Keeps the sun out. People are like, wow, that's so amazing. Satan comes immediately. Listen, the sun comes and tries to steal away. How fitting, isn't it? You guys are so funny. He goes, wow, the blinds. Honey, we ought to get some of them for our house. Fantastic. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And folks, the key to cultivating the weak heart to strong heart is to exercise the faith that you have been given. Watch what happens when you begin to saturate your life with the word of God. Things will begin to happen. Your life will be changed. Begin to feed on the Word of God and act on the Word of God and see what happens in your life. Now here's the thing, is that in this heart, it still has to be received with gladness. But you have to feed that which you've received, amen? You've got to tilth the soil. You have to saturate that soil with the Word of God to be able to withstand the attacks. The attacks are coming. Satan is going to come immediately. I like Revelation 12:11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. What ruins this person's seed is that they can't get past trials. They're so easily discouraged. And if you are easily discouraged, you have got to begin to understand persecution in a different way. Persecution is a great thing. Persecution is great. If you're being persecuted because of your beliefs, you should praise God for it. It's one of the greatest gifts that God gives us. 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's one of the biggest things that people have twisted. They think, man, I'm so weak. I can't do it. I can't endure. And God looks down in that situation and says, that's the place I want you to be. I want you to be weak. I don't need you to be strong. It's not when you're strong that I'm glorified. It's not when you're handling business on your own. It's when you're broke, busted, disgusted, and you have nowhere else to turn. You're like, God, I need you. And God goes, that's exactly where I want you to be. Completely in need of me. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Learn to love pain and persecution, man. It'll grow you. Amen. Here's the next heart, the thorny heart. See, the first heart is hard and the seed never gets a chance. The second heart is weak. It can't sustain. But this third heart's the worst, man. Like if you didn't feel bad about the hard heart and the soft heart, this thorny heart, I think it's the worst out of the four. Verse 7, and some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no crop. This seed, it grows ever so slightly, just like the little tiny nub, right? I mean, just a little bit out of sight of the soil, and then the thorns come in and just go, you know what? We're not going to let you have anything in this soil here, so we're here and we're going to take you out and we're going to choke you. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. Watch this, verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, watch this, and the desires for other things. That's an all-encompassing statement, isn't it? Jesus is just like, you know what? I know that he's like, I know people are going to have a love of money, so I got to say that. That's true. The cares of this world are going to get it too. But you know, I'm just going to have a disclaimer here to ensure that everything is absolutely covered in what I'm saying here. And the desires for other things. Whatever they were. And back then, I don't know what it was. You know, hey, Bob's got a new ox. I want a new ox. Whatever. These three things are what rule the thorny heart. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things. Think about that. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things. And these three things are the thorns that choke out the word in the life of the heart. And so if you think about your life and you think, man, I put myself in a position, I received the word of God. Well, where are you at on cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things? Because a divided heart does not desire the things of God, but desires the things of this world. Amen, that's good. A divided heart doesn't desire God alone. It falls into cares of this world, money, other things. That's the desire of the divided heart. They don't really care about what's happening with God. They don't care about what's happening with His church or His people. They are concerned with what the world is concerned with. Elections. Some of y'all just need to get saved again on your whole election thing, all right? Just be done with it. You got your ballot, just plug your nose, just write a thing. Do be done with it. You know what I'm saying? But that is the cares of this world. And so many Christians are getting sucked into this. Some idea that, oh, we just need a certain whatever and then God will be glorified. Maybe God could just be glorified in your life first. Okay? Let's just start there. Start with your life. They're worried about their own promotions. They're worried about their competitions, their recreations. You know what's funny? I was reading some Spurgeon. I like to read Spurgeon. And so I was reading one of his books from the 1800s. And he said that winter is the preacher's cultivating time. Because people are less distracted with the recreations of summer. This is like pre-jet ski. You know what I mean? They're out there with stick and hoop. Woo, recreation. Right? Even Spurgeon knew, man. These people are deceived into thinking, you ain't going to be laughing after this, they're deceived into thinking that riches will satisfy more than the things of God, so they connive, work, and manipulate to acquire the riches of the world instead of the riches of God. And some people will do whatever it takes for the almighty dollar. They'll do whatever, they will take whatever kind of job, they'll travel, they'll change their location, they'll do anything just to get more money, because in their mind, they think better house, better car, better clothes, better stuff, more vacations, more money is going to make me happier. So they do whatever they can to gather those things. But they also have these other desires for other things. And that right there, man, if you were like, I don't have the cares of this world. I don't have any problem with my riches. But that other things, man, that is all encompassing. And I got to tell you, man, I got some other things in my life. And because an other thing is anything that pulls you away than the things of God. That's an other thing. It's an other thing is just anything that pulls you in another direction. And whatever that may be, you know what that other thing is. I don't know what it is to you. Your other thing isn't my other thing, but you got another thing. I know what it is. Say amen if you got another thing. All right, this is for you. Here we go. So what does it mean to you? Get your heart right. Get your heart right. Care about the things of God more than the things of this world. Care about the things of God more than the things of this world. Love investing in the things of God more than investing in your riches. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Man, that would just change your life if you could understand that. What I have does not define me. What I have does not define me. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, if you've got a heart that's full of thorns and you're like, man, deceitfulness of riches got me, I'm going to give you a quick, your heart's going to grow like that. Okay, you ready for it? Start tithing 10% on the gross. Yes. Just start right now. And all of a sudden, the deceitfulness of riches will tear out of your heart like a lightning bolt. Amen? I've never seen somebody who's a tither that is in love with the things of this world because they know exactly where their life is centered on. Did you know that coveting will keep you out of heaven? And see, it's funny. People are always like, murder, adultery. They're like, well, let's talk about coveting once, huh? Talk about where your heart is on the things that you desire, the plans that you scheme to go and get the new sparkly, shiny whatever. Amen, Matt. That's good. Hallelujah. Pray for God to give you godly desires rather than desires for this world. And you know what? He will. Pray prayers that God can answer. God, break me of my love of the world, God. Help me to just only desire things of you. The Bible says in Psalms 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Yeah. And listen, man, if you don't want to listen to me for the next minute, you don't have to, because this is just my own experience and what I've seen. And so I don't think that's very biblical. It may not be. Okay. So you don't have to listen to this or receive this at all. This is 100% my opinion, but this is my life experience. Okay. In my life, what I have found is when I make my desire totally and completely after the things of God and be satisfied in what he's given me, he always gives me this extra blessing of what I always wanted. Always. Always, every time. One of the biggest examples of this, and I don't want to go too far into it, can I just keep it real for a minute? The idolatrous worship and desire of a pastor's heart to have a brick and mortar building is a huge thing. And I'm just being real, man. I never met one pastor yet that goes, I don't really want a building. We want to meet in a tent that we have to set up every week. I've never met a pastor like that. Every pastor wants a building. Every pastor does. And I'll tell you, when we were in the warehouse down there on Old West Valley, I used to curse God on my way to church for putting me in that place, man. Yeah. Oh, come on, God. 7.5-foot ceilings. There's a toilet in the back. And there's, you know, posts down the middle. I mean, I'm worshiping, rubbing the ceiling. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, there's stains on the carpet. People would literally come into the parking lot, look at the building, just keep driving. They're like, we don't want to go there. And I used to get so frustrated with God. I'm like, God, why do you have me in that rinky-dink thing, man? But you know what was so, and I kid you not, man, it was the moment that I actually gave myself over to it, and it wasn't with my mouth, it was with my heart. It was a heart, man. It wasn't, because God, you know what's funny about God? He knows when you just paint him lip service. You're like, God, I love this warehouse. He knows, man. Like, he knows. But there was this point, and it was, I'll tell you the point was, it was about, probably about 6 or 7 months before we started this part of getting this building, is I prayed to God. I said, God, if I am the pastor in the warehouse until you come back, I will do it. I will do it, man. And I'm not going to complain about it anymore. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm going to stop worrying about it. And God's like, all right, we just want to make sure your heart was right. Here you go. Dang it! And so for all of you old school FECers that have to suffer for 11 years for me to get my heart right, I'm sorry, okay? I wish I could have gotten my heart right sooner, but I'm a wretched sinner. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, put that up next to your mirror in your bathroom. Here's the fourth heart. Okay, here comes the salve. The fourth heart is the good heart. Amen. The good heart is the heart of those who accept the word and they bear fruit. Verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up. It increased and it produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 20, and these are the ones sown on good ground. And those hear the word, accept it, bear fruit. Sorry, I had to still throw in a little jab on the good heart. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Hear it, accept it, and bear fruit. And folks, that is the heart that God is looking for. If you want to change your hard, thorny, soft heart, this is the ultimate key of it all. Accept the word of God. Just accept it. Quit fighting God on it. Quit coming up with some weird provision to try to make it not apply to you. Quit trying to twist it and find some obscure, non-biblical text and be like, well, I did an internet search and in the book of Enoch, you know what it says? And, you know, and I did some studies on the Google and what it told me about the word of God was this. Man, I'll be completely honest with you guys. I am not a very smart man. I'm just not. Like, I've met people that are wicked smart and it's just not me. I just read it and accept it. That's all I do. I don't want to argue with it. I'm not looking for a loophole. Like, well, maybe I can just find a loophole and I don't have to do this. I just accept it. And that's the heart that God is looking for. One that doesn't resist, that doesn't fight it, that doesn't argue with it, that doesn't try to reason it away. I'm completely fine with people thinking that I am backwards and I'm in another era. I was born in the wrong era, okay? I was not supposed to be here at this time except for maybe to display to people that God's word is still true. I don't care what law is passed. I don't care what they teach in school. I'm going to stand on what the word of God says. I'm just going to stand on it, man. You know, you need to get with the times. No, you need to get with the Bible. You need to get with the times. The crux of this parable is found in the good ground. And the good ground is the heart of the person receiving the word of God. Do you remember at the beginning of the sermon when I talked to you about this? What's good soil? It has good tilth. The ability to have a seed sown inside of them. Suitability. Good soil has sufficient depth. Sufficient depth. It is sufficient but not excessive nutrient supply. There's a sermon in that right there. Dude, there's so many of the sermons in there all day long. So what does it mean to you? You've got to listen to what the Word of God is saying to you. Okay? When we come down here and there's a preacher here, whether it is I or some other well-vetted preacher that's up here bringing God's Word, you have got to understand that it is used to spur you on to good works. God uses His Word so wonderfully to just tilth our soils to receive the seed so that we'll be spurred on to good works. Yes. Now, when you think that I come down here just to beat up on you on a Sunday, it's not the truth. I'm just trying to get some fruit in your life, man. God is trying to get to you through His Word to grow you into those things. John 8:47, He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Accept it. Quit fighting God on His Word. Just take it at face value. Don't spend all this time. People say, well, you know, you're trying to take us to suspend our reasoning. Yes, I am. Like, I'm completely fine with it. Like, I'm not trying to figure out some fancy way. God's like, be faithful to your wife. I'm like, okay. Sounds good. Forgive people that hurt you. Okay. Because you told me to, drill sergeant. You know what I mean? And it's just like. Here's the last scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is just going to take a second. This is such a rich, rich little Thessalonians. It's in the second part of the Bible, isn't it? It's in here somewhere. Thessalonians. Here we go. This is such a nice, fat portion of scripture. And give me just a second. Don't give me nothing. Give God something. Seahawks, night games. Give the one that hung on the cross for you a few more minutes. The coming of the lawless one, according to this 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. With all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, watch this, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. One of the biggest problems with what is going on with this world is that people are not receiving the Word, accepting the Word, and defending the Word, and they're being sucked into delusions that aren't of God. And this scripture should be scary for people that are being deluded? Delusioned? It should be concerning. Receive the Word with gladness. Receive it as the truth and the Word of God. When you read this thing, you hear from him, just say, you know what, God, you spoke to me, I receive it, it's from you. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to bear fruit. Jesus says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And this fruit is just going to come out in your life. And people are going to look upon you and be like, man, what has happened to you? You're like, you know what, man? Good tilth, good dirt, good God. Amen? He's done and bared great fruit in my life. Last tiny little point is this, and I couldn't not say it. In the New Testament, water is symbolic of what? The Holy Spirit. And so good soil has to have the ability to hold what? Yeah, man. You got to hold on to that Holy Spirit inside of you if you want to be able to grow it. Amen? Nah, that's good, man. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Oh, did you guys get something out of that? Man, I did. I got saved again. All right. Hey, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I just want to give you a moment to respond to this message. It's pretty easy. Either you're living for Jesus or you're not. Either you've been repented of your sins or you haven't. Either you're walking in His grace or you're not. And it's very easy. God says, would you turn to my Son, let Him forgive you of your sins and live for Him. And He says He will take you every single time. And if you've never made that decision before, would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here this morning? Anybody? Okay. Now, let's not leave without asking the Holy Spirit to tilth the soil of our hearts. Just pray right now. Say, God, would you make my heart into good soil, God? Soften my hard heart, God. Don't let me be the thorny seed. Don't let me be the thorny seed. Don't let me be the quick growing seed, the rocky seed. God, I just want to have good soil in my heart, God. God, I want to have that which you that you want for me. God, I pray that you would fill me, that you would plant that seed deep inside of my heart, that I would produce fruit for your will, for your life, that you would get glory from it, God. Father, we pray that we would be a church of good dirt. God, that we would bring forth fruit of righteousness, that people would see your glory and be drawn into relationship with you. Father, we worship and praise you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Hey, would you guys stand with me real quick? If you are a first-time visitor here today, immediately following the service, would you please come up here and just greet me and my wife for a minute? We just want to get to know you for half a second. We're going to make this your home church.